All right, so before we get started, last night, I came across this video, and I told the first service it has absolutely nothing to do with my message, but in a way, it actually kind of does. Y'all check out this video. Wait. How many of you have a friend that you think would do anything for you, or you're the type of friend that would do anything for somebody else? Yeah. You're all liars. Watch this video.
Mr. Goodman, what makes you think you're qualified for this job?
Don't punch me!
If you do not have a friend, or you are not that friend that would do that for you or for somebody else, you do not have a real friend. I'm sorry. That's just the way it goes. Can't help it. Sorry. But I saw that, and last night I about rolled out of bed laughing so hard. And it was just, oh, goodness. Yeah. Hey, Jonathan, do you know how to make an egg roll? You push it. That was a good one, Eli, wasn't it? I like it. All right, so we are almost through with the series that we started a couple weeks ago. Pastor Carlos a couple weeks ago talked about hope. And then last week, Pastor touched on love. And this morning, I want to wrap faith and love together into a nice present for us, okay? I've titled the message today, Are You Convinced? How likely are you to be convinced of something that you otherwise thought wasn't true? Is it easy for someone to change your opinion about something? I found a list of some things that probably are true, but that may take some convincing, okay? Here they are. The more you hate a trait in someone else, the more likely you are avoiding it in yourself. People who can't trust can't be trusted. The more you try to impress people, the less impressed that they'll be. The more you fail, the more likely you are to succeed. Tom Brady, regardless of how I feel, is the best quarterback of all time. It's regardless of how I feel.
John Elway.
Well, yeah, maybe. The more you learn, the more you realize how little you know. Yeah. The View is the worst show on television.
Amen.
Yeah. That'll preach right there. The more available something is, the less you will want it. Yeah. LeBron James is not the GOAT of basketball. All my Michael Jordan lovers, where you at? The Denver Broncos are a horrible football team. My bad. I forgot y'all were here. My fault. I meant the Oklahoma Sooners are the worst football team. Rise up, Longhorns. The only certainty is that nothing is ever certain. Your faith is meaningless if you're not willing to put it to the test. Oh. No matter what your past looks like, God has never stopped loving you.
Yeah.
Man, there's a couple that'll preach right there. Throughout the course of this series, the main text has been 1 Corinthians 13:13, and it says, three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. When we read the word, we can get an understanding that faith and hope are closely tied together. Romans 8:24 says, that hope means that we must trust and wait for what is still unseen. For why would we hope for something we already have? Why hope for a good church when you're already at one? Why hope for a good pastor when you already have one? Why hope for a good youth pastor when you already have one? I mean, I don't know if that's true, but you may need some convincing on that. But, you know, depends on who you ask, I guess. Hebrews 11:1 says of faith, it is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. You know, you have to have faith to believe that there's even a God. Right? Because we can't see God, but we have a faith to believe that he's real. Right? This morning I want to ask you three questions that I hope you'll get answers to either through the message or through God's divine revelation in your life. Okay? So, are you convinced that, number one, your faith should be non-negotiable? Hebrews 11:6 in the Passion says, and without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. Now, to a certain extent, it pleases God when you're nice to people. To a certain extent, it pleases God when you love people. To a certain extent, it pleases God when you obey those in authority. But it's only faith that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can be the best person in the world. You can be the most loving person in the world. You can give to charity. You can spend time at the church helping out, volunteering. You can give your grandkids all the candy in the world, sweeten them up. But that means nothing without faith. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us some examples of faith and the results of faith. And I will preface this before I go on that the Cowboys are not playing today, okay? So I have till about 2 o'clock to get finished, okay? Pastor's already okayed it, okay? So if you have a problem, talk to him, not me. I'm just a messenger, okay? Because I've got a lot of scripture to go through in about 3 hours. Okay, so Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and brings the foundation needed to acquire the things that we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. This testimony of faith is what previous generations were commended for. Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke and the invisible realm gave birth to what is seen. Faith moved Abel to choose a more acceptable sacrifice to offer God than his brother Cain. Verse 5, faith translated Enoch from his life and he was taken up into heaven. Skip verse 6. Verse 7, faith opened Noah's heart to receive revelation and warnings from God about what was coming. By his faith, the world was condemned, but Noah received God's gift of righteousness that comes by believing. Verse 8, faith motivated Abraham to obey God's call and leave the familiar to discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. He lived by faith as an immigrant in his promised land as though it belonged to someone else. His eyes of faith were set on the city with unshakable foundations, whose architect and builder is God himself. Your life has been built on an unshakable foundation because God built it and is still building it. Sarah's faith embraced God's miracle power to conceive, even though she was barren and was past the age of childbearing. In fact, so many children were subsequently fathered by this aged man of faith, one who was as good as dead, that he now has offspring as innumerable as the sand on the seashore and as the stars in the sky. Verse 14, for clearly those who live this way are longing for the appearing of a heavenly city. And if their hearts were still remembering what they left behind, they would have found an opportunity to go back. But they couldn't turn back, for their hearts were fixed on what was far greater, that is the heavenly realm. Too many times we've been given a promise by God that we have not seen yet, so we resort back to things in the past that worked before, when God never told us to go back in the past to begin with. So because of this, God is not ashamed in any way to be called their God, for he has prepared a heavenly city for them. 17, faith operated powerfully in Abraham, for when he was put to the test, he offered up Isaac. Verse 19, Abraham's faith made it logical to him that God could raise Isaac from the dead, and symbolically, that's exactly what happened. The power of faith prompted Isaac to impart blessings to his son Jacob and Esau concerning their prophetic destinies. Jacob worshipped and faced reality at the end of his life, and leaning upon his staff, he imparted prophetic blessings upon each of Joseph's sons. Faith inspired Joseph and opened his eyes to see into the future. Verse 23, faith prompted the parents of Moses at his birth to hide him for 3 months because they realized their child was exceptional, like my parents realized of me, and they refused to be afraid of the king's edict. Faith enabled Moses to choose God's will, for although he was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he refused to make that his identity. Faith enabled Moses to choose God's will because he refused to make being the son of Pharaoh's daughter his identity. Choosing instead to suffer mistreatment with the people of God, Moses preferred faith's certainty above the momentary enjoyment of sin's pleasures. Too many times we enjoy the things of this world instead of enjoying the faithfulness of God. He found his true wealth in suffering abuse for being anointed more than in anything the world could offer him. For his eyes looked with wonder not on the immediate, but on the ultimate, faith's great reward. Holding faith's promise, Moses abandoned Egypt and had no fear of Pharaoh's rage because he persisted in faith as if he had seen God who was unseen. Faith stirred Moses to perform the rite of Passover and sprinkle lamb's blood to prevent the destroyer from harming their firstborn. Faith opened the way for the Hebrews to cross the Red Sea as if on dry land. Faith pulled down Jericho's walls after the people marched around them for 7 days. Faith provided a way of escape for Rahab the prostitute, avoiding the destruction of the unbelievers because she received the Hebrew spies in peace. Do you see what's happening? Do you see what took place because of faith? Because they chose to step out in faith, they received things that they may not have otherwise received. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase." Some of us are still at the bottom step looking up. Like, I wonder if my blessing's up there. I'm just going to stand right here and wait for it. Ho-hum. No, you got to take that step to get closer to what God has for you. But you'll never get there if you don't take the step. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Helen Keller said, "Faith is the strength by which a shattered world shall emerge into the light." A.W. Tozer said, "Any faith that must be supported by the evidence of the senses is not real faith." Faith is believing in things that you can't see. Faith is believing in a God that we can't see, but we know he's there because we've seen him work. We've seen the evidence of God in our life, in other people's life. A while back, I was working at a vitamin factory and came home smelling like Flintstones chewables every day. But it was bad. Truck smelled terrible. Clothes smelled terrible. It was gross. But there was a lady that used to work there, and she was kind of new. She had grown up Baptist, and her husband was not religious at all. So his influence kind of persuaded her, convinced her to do other things. And we were talking one day, and she was like, "You know, I don't really believe that there is a God." I was like, "Why not?" She's like, "I've never seen him." It's like, "Okay, so I guess you don't believe in wind?" She's like, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, you can't see the wind, right? You can see the effects of the wind, but you can't actually physically see wind." I said, "Do you believe in love? You love your husband, right? Do you believe in love?" She said, "Well, yeah." I said, "Why? You can't see love. You can see the effects of love. You can see what love does to people, but you can't see love. So how does that measure up to not being able to believe in God choosing not to believe in God because you can't see him? We can't see God, but we can see the effects of God. You see it when you walk out the door. You see it in this room with the people that he's created in his image. Like, all of us look like God. In case you didn't know that, some of us, all of us look like God. Some of us look better than others, but you know. Eli. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot you were here. My bad. Woo! But when I had brought that up to her, you could just kind of see the wheels in her head just start turning. Like, well, wait a second, maybe that's true. I can't see wind, but I can see the effect. I can't see love, but I can see the effect. I can't see God, but I've seen his effect. My second point is, are you convinced that your faith helps to make you a champion? Hebrews 11, 32 through 40 says, and what more could I say to convince you? For there is not enough time to tell you of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Through faith's power, they conquered kingdoms and established true justice. Their faith fastened onto their promises and pulled them into reality. It was faith that shut the mouths of lions, put out the power of raging fire, and caused many to escape certain death by the sword. Although weak, their faith imparted power to make them strong. Faith sparked courage within them, and they became mighty warriors in battle, pulling armies from another realm into battle array. Faith-filled women saw their dead children raised in resurrection power. Some of you have been praying that your spiritually dead children are going to be raised in resurrection power. Keep believing that. Yet it was faith that enabled others to endure great atrocities. They were stretched out on the wheel and tortured and didn't deny their faith in order to be freed because they longed for a more honorable and glorious resurrection. Others were mocked and experienced the most severe beating with whips. They were in chains and imprisoned. Some of these faith champions were brutally killed by stoning, being sawn in two, or slaughtered by the sword. These lived in faith as they went about wearing goatskins and sheepskins for clothing. They lost everything they possessed. They endured great afflictions, and they were cruelly mistreated. They wandered the earth, living in the desert wilderness, in caves, on barren mountains, and in holes in the earth. Truly, the world was not even worthy of them, not realizing who they were. Some of you have been in that same situation. You feel like you're not worthy to be here, and that nobody realizes who you are. God does. These were the true heroes, commended for their faith, yet they lived in hope without receiving the fullness of what was promised them. But now God has invited us to live in something better than what they had, faithfulness. This is so that they could be brought to finished perfection alongside of us. It's important for us to always exercise faith, even if we don't see the fulfillment of our promises. You know, some of these people we talked about earlier in the chapter, they didn't see the fulfillment of the promise that God made to them. But because they had enough faith in God to experience those things, or some of those things, they were able to walk that faith out. They'd already seen God move before, so what made them think he wouldn't move again? God's moved in your life before. What makes you think he won't move again? God has brought some of y'all out of some crazy places that I wouldn't even imagine going to.
Come on, hallelujah.
But without the faith to get out of those places, you'd probably still be in those places.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. My third point is, are you convinced that your destiny is grounded and rooted in God's love? I don't know. Do you have those verses on there? That is one attractive slide pusher back there. That's my wife. I can say that for those on live that can't see. Sorry. I'm convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us a wonderful freedom coming to God's children. To this day, we are aware of the universal agony and groaning of creation as if it were in the contractions of labor for childbirth, which is not as painful as a man that's sick. I'm just kidding. And it's not just creation. We who have already experienced the first fruits of the Spirit also inwardly groan as we passionately long to experience our full status as God's sons and daughters, including our physical bodies being transformed. For this is the hope of our salvation. But hope means that we must trust and wait for what is still unseen. For why would we need to hope for something we already have? So because our faith is set on what is yet to be seen, we patiently keep on waiting for its fulfillment. And in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for. But the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good. For we are His lovers who have been called to fulfill His design purpose. For He knew all about us before we were born, and He destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of His Son. This means the Son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like Him. Having determined our destiny ahead of time, He called us to Himself and transferred His perfect righteousness to everyone He called. And those who possess His perfect righteousness, He co-glorified with His Son. So what does all this mean? If God has determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? For God has proved His love by giving us His greatest treasure, the gift of His Son. And since God freely offered Him up as a sacrifice for us all, He certainly won't withhold from us anything else He has to give. Who then would dare to accuse those whom God has chosen in love to be His? God Himself is the judge who has issued His final verdict over them, not guilty. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the Anointed One. For He gave His life for us, and even more than that, He has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at His right hand. So how could He possibly condemn us since He is continually praying for our triumph? Who could ever divorce us from the endless love of God's Anointed One? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish His love towards us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and Heaven's love. What about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? No, for they are all impotent to hinder omnipotent love, even though it is written, all day long we face death threats for Your sake, God. We are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Yet even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all, for God has made us to be more than conquerors, and His demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that His love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, or dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken His love. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. Amen. Nothing in our past, nothing in our present, and nothing that is going to happen in our future can separate us from God's love. Your choices can distance you from God's love, but it's never going to separate you from God's love. Yeah. Nothing. Nothing you say, no place you go, nobody you hang out with is ever going to separate you from God's love. He made you the way He wanted you to be because He loves you that much. He took the time out of His day to form you perfectly in your mother's womb and made you the person you are today. Who else would do that for you? Who else would send His Son to die on a cross, endure a horrible death? Like who else would do that but God Himself? And here we are sometimes, we wallow around in not getting what we want or not seeing the blessings that we think we deserve to have. When all God's asking for is just a little bit of faith and for you to receive His love. Tim Tebow and Kerry Job have pretty much the same womb story. Both of their mothers were having complications during pregnancy. Both of their mothers were told by professionals that either the mothers would die during childbirth or that the children would die either in the womb or immediately after birth, or they would have issues throughout their life. And they were told to get rid of the child. But because Tim's mom and Carrie's mom were faith-filled believers, they respectfully told the doctors, we're not doing that. We believe in a higher power. We respect your opinion. You are a professional, that we respect your opinion, but we will humbly and graciously decline your opinion. And we are going to carry this baby full term, and God is going to bless this baby, and these babies are going to be world changers for Jesus, and that's just the way it's going to be. Tim Tebow is a two-time national champion at the University of Florida. That was like my team in high school, was Florida Gators because of Tim Tebow and that high-powered offense and that crazy defense. And he went on to be first-round pick of Denver Broncos. You're welcome, Pastor. And he led the Broncos to the playoffs, beat the Steelers in the playoffs in the first round, and then got destroyed by Tom Brady the next round. You're welcome, Mark. And he went on to play for a couple more teams, retired, and he spends, when he's not working for ESPN, he spends his off time in the Philippines ministering to kids who don't have anything. Yeah. Now, would that have happened if his parents took the advice of the medical professional? I have nothing against doctors. I think they're great, but sometimes, you know what, you just have to step out in faith. And that's what his parents did. And in his spare time, he goes to the Philippines regularly and ministers to kids who don't have anything. Carrie Jo, pretty much the same story. Her mom was having complications during pregnancy. Doctors told her, hey, if you have this kid, it's probably not going to live very long. So we this is our humble opinion and our professional opinion that you abort this baby. And Carrie's mom was like, nope, I believe in a higher power. Again, respectfully, you know, we respect your professional opinion, but our faith in the Supreme Being is going to take precedent in this situation, and we believe that this baby is going to be a world changer for Jesus. And she is a multi-time, I believe, platinum recording artist. She has won multiple awards, and she has led multiple people, millions of people, to Jesus because of her music. Now, I'm sure that some of those millions of people would have found Jesus otherwise, but if Carrie's parents had listened to the advice of the doctor and terminated the pregnancy, how many of those millions of people would still be searching for Jesus right now without Carrie's music? Their parents had to step out in faith. They had to step up on the staircase, on the next step, and say, you know what? We've heard the opinions of the doctors, but we've also heard the opinion of someone above the doctor. And that's the opinion we're going to follow. We're going to step out in faith because God said even just a little bit of faith, small as mustard seed, is going to move this mountain of pregnancy issues and baby issues out of the way. And we're going to step out in faith, step up on this step, and we believe that our baby is going to grow up to be a world changer because we have faith strong enough to believe that. Some of us need to jump on board with that. You know, I didn't mention this in the first service, but it just coming to my head right now. It blows my mind to hear about people that have been walking with Jesus for 20, 30, 40 years, just all of a sudden say, you know what, I don't believe that anymore. That blows my mind. Everything that God gave to you, your fame, your stature, all this stuff that God gave you, and you just want to turn around, you know what, I don't believe that anymore. Where'd their faith go? Where did their love for other people go? Where did their love for Jesus go? I would venture to say that maybe their faith wasn't practiced all that much. And they were just filling a role, playing a part. Sometimes we fall into that. Sometimes we just have those moments where we're just playing a part. We're just there. Just because we, you know, hey, God's put us here. We don't know why, but, you know, we're just going to, you know, stay right here. Or we venture out on our own without any push from God, and we venture out into places that we really don't want to be. But sometimes your faith is going to take you places that you really weren't expecting to go to. It's going to take you to jobs that you really weren't expecting to have. It's going to take you to jobs that you really don't like at all, but because God's put you there, he's got something for you to do there first before he can take you on to the next place. You know, some people work the same job for 40 years. You're going on, what, 38 at yours? But my dad's been at his job for 38 years, but that's where God has designed for him to be. Some of us, like my journey, I've been 5 or 6 different jobs. I think I've been with 5 jobs since I've been married. I've been married for 10 years, and I've had 4 or 5 different jobs in that time span. But my faith journey in enduring those jobs has led me to the job that I've wanted for the majority of my life. Now, who on earth would live to be a teacher right now? Apparently just me and Grace. Because Grace has been doing it a lot longer than I have, and she's still doing it. And I know she's not doing it for the money, because the money's not there. But because she loves the kids, that's why she's still there. That's why I'm there. That's why I chose to be the youth pastor at this church, because I love these kids. But if I wasn't acting out my faith in each step of the process, I probably wouldn't be where I'm at today. The end of October last year, there was a situation that happened in my previous job where there was an issue that happened, and they didn't think I did enough to do it. I wasn't sure how to fix it in the first place, and nobody that I asked could help me. And they were like, "Well, you know what? We did the investigation, and you know there was just too much stuff that happened, so we're gonna have to let you go." Okay, cool. I don't need you anyway. That's good. And so I could have very easily just crawled up in a ball and been like, "Okay, how am I gonna provide for my family now? How am I gonna do this? Poor pity me." But no, I had to have faith that God was gonna provide for me every step of the way, because he has up to that point. And we were living off financial aid money from school, because I was still in school at that time, and living off my wife's paycheck for 5 months until I got a job at Empire Power Paper. I graduated 3 weeks later, and then August the 2nd, actually July 30th, I get a phone call from Vernon Northside, which is where I'm teaching at now. And the guy calls me and says, "Hey, Tyler, we'd like for you to come in and interview for this job that you applied for." And he had to he called me 7 times, because I'm the type that if I see a number pop up on my phone, I don't know who it is, it's going to go into voicemail. And if you care enough to leave me a voicemail, if it's that important, you can leave me a voicemail. I'll get back to you when I can. We were on a trip, and so I didn't even call him back. I don't even like talking on the phone. I'd rather text. So if you want to call me on the phone, don't. Just text me, and I'll get back to you real quick, okay? But I text him. I was like, "Hey, I'm on vacation. I'll be back Sunday. Can I meet with you Monday?" He's like, "Yeah, that's great," because they were starting school the next week. So they were desperate enough, I guess, to call me, you know. And when I said that in the first service, I realized how bad that sounded for me. And so I was desperate. They were desperate. So, you know, it was, you know, just a party for both of us. Woo! But I went there on that Monday. I walked the campus with the athletic director. We went into the superintendent's office. He interviewed me, asked me some questions, and then offered me the job on the spot. And that is a job that I've wanted for a majority of my life, is to teach and to coach. I'm the head basketball coach and the head golf coach. And my journey has led me to this point, and I don't know that I've ever had as much fun at a job as I'm having now. Well, you're a teacher, you're having fun. Yeah, maybe that's the first year, and when I get to 35 or 40 like Grace is, you know, I probably won't be thinking that, you know, but right now, it's fun. I love it. But if my faith in every step until now hadn't, if I hadn't practiced that, I don't think I would be there right now. I would still be at Empire Paper making $15 an hour, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and not enjoying it at all. But because I exercised my faith in every step that God took me to, and every step I took, God was like, because you did that, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you the desire of your heart. Because you walked in faith this whole time, I'm going to give you the desire of your heart. And along the way, my life was rooted and grounded in his love. Because without it, I'm not the man that I am today. Tim, if you'll come up. We've all had trials in our life that required us to exercise faith. We've all had moments where we felt unloved. We've all doubted God at some point in our life. Just like God never left the people in the Bible, he's never left us. Sometimes we get to those places where we feel like, you know, nobody cares, that nobody loves us at all. But it's in those moments that we need to realize and understand that God's been right there the whole time. He's never left us. We may have left him, but he's never left us. He's been right there every step. There's never been a moment where we haven't been in God's love. Faith allows us to be who we are in our walk with God. And if you don't feel close to God, maybe you need to look at your faith and see where that's at. Maybe you need a little bit more faith. We learned earlier that without faith, we can't please God. Imagine if Abraham, Moses, or even Jesus didn't express their faith in God. I've mentioned it in past sermons that I've had where what if Jesus was in the garden knowing what was going to happen the next day, and he was like, you know what, forget this, I'm going home. These people can figure it out by themselves. I don't believe that this is going to happen. Forget this, I'm going home. But because he had faith in God, he had faith in his plan, he stuck with the plan. And some of us have fallen off from the plan that God has for us. And it's time that we exercise the faith to get back on that plan. God's love mixed with our faith is a wonderful combination. Faith is a big part in why we are as close to God as we are. Understanding his love is why some of us are able to get out of bed in the morning. My mom has lost both of her parents. And they were both a big part of my life and who I am. And on the mornings of their funeral services, I didn't want to get out of bed. I wanted to go back in time and replay some of those experiences with them. My grandpa's favorite show was Everybody Loves Raymond. And every afternoon that we would go over there, he'd be sitting in his chair. One leg would be bent and the other leg would be straight all the time. And he would have that show on all the time. Never failed. My cousin on my mom's side grew up in a broken home. Growing up, the only place he heard about Jesus was from us and my grandparents. And in middle school, he would hang around a group of people that weren't very good people to hang around, and he would be popping pills and doing other things that he, you know, wishes he hadn't done. But we kept praying for him. We kept exercising our faith around him. We kept loving him. And when he was 16, he went to a youth camp. And he gave his life to God. He graduated high school and went to Dallas Baptist and graduated from Dallas Baptist with a ministry degree. And now him and his wife are in Breckenridge, and they are the youth pastors of a church, and I believe he's got around 100 students now. But where would he be if we hadn't shown him love and hadn't expressed our faith to him and in him? You know, sometimes people around us, they just need to see and experience that we believe in them. And in believing in them, we show them that we believe in God for them, and then that opens a door for them to believe in God on their own. But what would have happened if we never showed love to him, if we never expressed our faith in his presence? I wonder where he would be today. I wonder where some of us would be today if people in our life hadn't shown love to us, if people hadn't expressed faith in us or shown us the example of having a faith in God. Where would we be? Some of you have stories that I can only dream about, that I wouldn't want to experience. But because God loves you that much, because your life is rooted and grounded in God's love, he's got you here today. He's got you where you are today because of his love, and maybe even because of your faith. You know, God told the disciples that if they had faith as small as a mustard seed, and if you've ever seen a mustard seed, you know how really small it is. He said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Some of y'all have come in here today and you need a mountain moved. But when was the last time that you exercised your faith in order to move the mountain? My parents just moved into a new house, and I hate moving, and I helped them move some, and I don't like it at all. I don't like when I move. I don't like when other people move, because then I have to help them, and it's just one big cycle that I don't like dealing with. But you know what? In the process of moving, you find things that you don't really need anymore. You find that box in the corner of old junk that's just sitting there, just taking up space that you don't need anymore. Well, sometimes there's things in our life that when we step out in faith, we see that old box in the corner. It's like, why is that? I don't need that anymore. I don't need that box of doubt and self-pity and bitterness and unforgiveness. I don't need that box in my life anymore. Throw that out. I don't want that. But if you never step out and move, you're never going to see that box. And maybe that's the box that's keeping you from getting to where God wants you to be. But if we never step out in faith, if we never step up on that step towards what God has for us, we're never going to find that box. Today, I want to encourage you, and I've said this before, any time that I have the opportunity to speak in front of you, that these words are not just for you, they're for me. Like, I have to, like, in prepping this, like, I have to be like, you know, there's things that I'm sure Pastor can attest to this. Whenever you're prepping a message, God starts revealing things in that message that's going on in your life, and it's like, oh, snap, that was for me. And this entire message, when I was prepping it, I've had to have the realization that, oh snap, this is for me too. Because I'm not where I'm at today if I don't exercise faith. If I don't understand that my life is rooted and grounded in God's love. There are some of you where it's been a long time since you've experienced God's love, or it felt like you've experienced God's love. But the reality is that God's been right there the whole time, waiting for you to receive it, waiting for you to step out and open up your arms so he can embrace you. But how much longer are we going to wait to step out in faith, to step out towards that thing that we've been longing for, that we've been praying for? How much longer are we going to wait to step out before we finally get it that, hey, I need to do this? Because I wouldn't be teaching and coaching if I didn't step out in faith. If I didn't allow God to take me to all those other places, all those other jobs, to get to this one. Because, you know, sometimes you have to walk through the mud before you can get to the grass on the other side. Well, I'm standing in the grass today. But I can promise you, I had to walk through a lot of mud to get there. But I want this message to encourage you that what you're praying for, what you're waiting for, is on the other side. But you have to step out. You have to take that step of faith in order to see that happen. Because as much as God loves you, as much as he wants to give you things, sometimes you have to do some stuff on your own. God said, faith without works is dead. Well, if you're not willing to work for those things that you're longing for, then your faith in receiving those things is dead. It's not going to happen for you. So today I just want to encourage you, step out in faith. Take that bold step to step out. Step out and reach out for that thing that you're longing for. And as you step out, you're gonna feel God's love surround you. Hopefully you're feeling it all already in your life. But when you step out in faith, you're gonna start feeling some stuff. It's like, oh shoot, I should have done this earlier. God's been right here the whole time and I hadn't seen it until just now when I stepped out. God has blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon blessings for you. But if you don't step out in faith to receive those things, you're never going to see it. Just one quick story before I close. Steve Harvey gave a message on TBN one time, and he was talking about faith. And he told this story about this guy. He had a vision of him being in heaven. And he was walking around the streets of heaven, and he sees these boxes just traveling by on the road, and it had his name on it, but they were closed. Every corner he took, every street he walked on, he would see boxes with his name on it. And he would follow these boxes, and they were leading to a warehouse. And inside that warehouse was a whole rack full of boxes with his name on it. And so the guy is up there, and he sees Peter, and he says, "Hey Peter, what are all these boxes on the road and on these shelves in this warehouse with my name on it? What are all those boxes?" And Peter said, "Those are all the boxes that God wanted to give you, but because you didn't step out in faith, he couldn't give them to you." See, God has things in store for our life, for all of us. No one's exempt from the other one. God has things in store for our life. He has gifts to give us. But if we don't step out in faith and receive those, we're never going to see them. They're just going to be rolling by on the street, and they're going to be all piled up on a shelf in some warehouse with our name on it, never to be opened, because we chose not to step out in faith. So what are those things that you're asking God for that you need to step out in faith to receive? That you've just been sitting off on the sideline waiting for things to happen, when God says, dude, you got to get in the game first. You know, you're not going to break a sweat if you don't get in the game first. You're not going to score if you don't get in the game first. We've got to step in and get in the game. Our faith in God, like that's you know, God wants to do that for you, but if we don't step out, He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. God, I thank you for this word this morning. God, I thank you that in preparing this word, God, that you opened some things up in my life. God, I pray, God, that you would give us the boldness, God, to step out in faith for those things that we are believing for. God, that we would choose to step out in boldness, God, and take that courageous step, God, to step out and receive those things. Because, God, you're a gracious God, and you are in the business of giving gifts, and you want to give your children gifts. But, God, we have to be willing to step out and receive those. God, wrap us up in your love today. Help us understand, God, that our life is grounded and rooted in your love, God. God, that I pray, God, that your love would be the driving force, God, behind everything that we do. God, that we wouldn't be afraid to show someone else that love, God, and to show other people how important our faith is. To show other people how important your love is in our life. God, I thank you for everyone that came this morning, God. And I pray, God, that this message just ministers to each one of us. God, that we can take something from this and build on it, God. God, help us to get off the sidelines and choose to get in the game. God, because that's where you're waiting for us. You're waiting for us at the 50-yard line, God. God, you're waiting for us at half court to step out and make a move. God, I thank you, God, that you love us that much, God, that you want to give us those things. God, help us see that, God, and help us to step out in that boldness to receive what you have for us. Thank you for that in Jesus' name.